find a grown-up? Find a grown-up? Excuse me, I'm lost. Could you please help me?
Sick too.
Oh dude, it's the fall time allergies. That was me yesterday, man. I was like, I felt hungover all day, even though I was definitely not, you know. I was like, ugh.
Crazy.
And then last night, dude, it was wild. We were sleeping. We were both laying in bed, just off away in dreamland, deep into dreamland. And yeah. Then there was like this crazy loud crash in our house, like, and I like bolted upright. But I was so like caught between dream world and real world. I was like, did I dream a crash? And this is just my dream coming. But I looked over and Lindsay was setting up too. And I was like, did you hear that? And she was like, yeah. So then it became like a fuck, like what's going down, you know? And it may sound like pots and pans, like being shoved out of a cabinet, you know?
And yeah, it's like, so your house is haunted is what you're saying.
Yeah. It was like 3 a.m. too. Of course. It always happens at 3 a.m. And we're like, we both are like creeping through the house, turning all the lights on, like tearing the house apart, trying to find out what it was. And we went through every room, top of the house to the bottom, and we found nothing. And we were like, I was at this point, I just need to see something, anything, just so I can go back to bed. Cause like, even the worst thing is like, there, you hear the sound, but there's no evidence of it. We finally found it.
What was it?
It was next to the washer and dryer. We had this little tiny plastic cup, believe it or not, that was like magnetized that sticks to the side of the washer and dryer that you put lint in. And even though it's magnetized, it fell off of the fucking washer and dryer at 3 a.m.
You see,
and
Brandon,
because it's tile, it like made the craziest sound.
Brandon, see, this is a Halloween episode. This is the perfect opportunity. You could have been like, and it was a dead body falling from the attic. You could have given me something.
Yeah. I know. It's just a lint cup. It's just a lint cup, dude.
You could have been like, oh, and then it was this ancient amulet that shattered and a ghost came out. You could have given me something.
Yeah. Well, my friends all joke with Lindsay that she's cursed the house, because when we first moved in, well, actually, it was after we've been here a little bit, but last year she was doing some like yard stuff and she was digging around. We have this giant oak, like ancient oak in our yard, creepy enough as it is. And she was like digging around it to like put some stones and stuff down. And she dug up this tiny necklace that says like Lisa on it. And it was like, or no, it's not Lisa. That's me just thinking Simpsons. Is it Anne? I think it was Anne, but it's a tiny.
Those aren't even close.
I know, it's not even close at all. But it was like buried next to the tree. So she digs it up, and it was like buried, like purposefully buried there. And like all of my friends are like, dude, you gotta put it back, you know. And she like kept it in the house for a few days, and then she finally like reburied it. And nothing but weird shit's happened since then. Like. Actually, nothing actually has really happened. Just trying to be
extra creepy. Yeah, no, keep that going. I mean, it's funny you say that, because literally last night we were watching Goosebumps. We were finally checking out the new Goosebumps show, and in like a really like creepy moment, we heard a weird noise too, and we're like, oh, what the hell was that? You know, it was a possum, just a baby possum on the porch.
That's so pretty
nothing,
cute. I love
nothing
a possum.
Cool. Yeah, no, yeah, it was nice. Better than a dead body or an ancient amulet, I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
so
I guess.
I'll take that. Yeah, I love that, and that honestly sets the tone for this episode perfectly. So I'm just gonna leave all that in,
all right.
And I say we just roll into the intro right now.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yo, everybody, and welcome back once again. To Simpsons is Greater Than, but not just Simpsons is Greater Than, it's a spooky special. Ooh. Halloween edition. You know I do these every year. As always, I'm your host, Warren, better known to some of you as Bart of Darkness. You might know me from Instagram for my collection and all of that.
Be honest, it's great, isn't it? Go ahead and say it's great if you want to.
But if not, when you're done with this episode, please go check it out. You know, let me know what you think. I always want to hear from the people when they see the collection. And as always, I'm joined by my main man, my co-host, the viral sensation himself, Brandon Withrow. Brandon, how are you? What's up, man?
Dude, I'm good. I'm glad it's Halloween. I wish it could always be Halloween.
If
it's
only.
The best. Absolutely. If only. If only.
If only it could.
We've been watching, been like cramming through some horror movies.
Nice.
You know, trying to get in the Halloween spirit. What about you, dude?
Yeah, man. You know, the same. I feel like I say this every year now, so it's like less of a shock, but I like do a worse job of watching scary stuff. Like I feel like it was always such a priority for me, and now this year I'm like for the last few years I get so excited for Halloween and I like can't wait to get the stuff up and decorate the yard and do whatever, and then it's like I just like forget, and then at the last second, you know, I'm cramming it in, I'm trying to watch like all the scary stuff at the last moment, but you know, we're getting there. So
when you've seen everything like you have, it's hard to find new things to watch. I tell you, every time I watch a movie, I like message Warren. And I'm like, yo, dude, I just watched this. He's like, yeah, seen it.
Yeah,
seen
I saw it. That 5 years ago. It was pretty good. I'll tell you what else is scary about this episode is that Brandon and I are both feeling these fall allergies, man. So if you hear some coughs and sneezes throughout this episode, I'll try my best to edit them out, but no guarantees. You know, there's a lot of phlegm. So I'm gonna do what I can. It's terrifying. I'm gonna do what I can to sound normal. But this morning I was like on the fence. I was like, man, I sound like Barry White. Like this is it's gonna take me a while to get ready for this episode. But we're here, you know, and obviously we both love this time of year. We've made that very apparent. And Brandon, I know you always make like a big deal out of Halloween. So what are your plans this year? Are they the same? You doing something special? What are you doing?
Same, more of the same. We usually have like a big fire pit in front of our house. We set up. Our neighborhood is huge on trick-or-treating. Absolutely insane here. Every year, I swear that I'm not going to run out of candy. And every year, it's like the number of kids double that come in. Like, we live in one of those neighborhoods, which kind of ties into the episode that we're doing today. But we live in one of those neighborhoods where like kids bus in from other neighborhoods to come trick or treat. I guess somebody's giving out full size candy bars in our hood.
Do they have to like bribe the guy with like a zip lining coupon
okay. They don't. That joke also got me.
It was great.
Yeah, but so it gets pretty wild. We've been in this house for, this will be our fourth Halloween, and like we moved into this house during COVID, so it was like we weren't even sure if the trick-or-treat was going to happen, but it blew up here. Next year, I bought twice the amount of candy. Last year, we also always like buy the candy and then we pre-bag it and like lay it out. That way it kind of, because we're hanging around the fire pit. We want to kind of keep a little bit of distance and all that. So
totally.
It just makes it easier with also the number of kids that we have coming through. So last year, I think we made 400 bags of candy. And it was like, I thought I had it last year. It was like 6 p.m. and we'd only given away like 30 of them. I was like, man, it's going to be a weak turnout this year. And like within an hour, all 400 were gone. We had Jesus. To pick up while it was still burning the fire pit and move it to the backyard, turn all the lights off. And then everyone thought that I was like, we're going to get egged. I know it.
Dude.
We're
going to
get egged. We didn't.
Thought you guys were skippers, man.
We were skippers, man.
This year, it's for the last few years, I feel like we've done this. And I feel bad because we do love trick-or-treaters and we always decorate the house and stuff. We're definitely not skippers. But we've had like a cool invite to a Halloween party for the last few years where, you know, nice. We dress up and stuff. And that's always on Halloween. So it's like, I just have to be the guy that leaves out the, you know, the big bowl of candy that says, oh, you know, please take one. And I'm sure it's immediately gone with the first like five kids. But I try to get as much as I can. At least they can see that we had candy. I mean, I look at it like that. They're like, oh, you know, we just got here too late. So if anything, it just makes us look more popular, I guess. So I'll keep telling yourself that. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Well, Brandon, why don't you know, we'll get going on with what we're doing today. But for those who didn't read the, you know, the title or the description or anything. What are we doing today? Why don't you tell everyone that?
Oh, we're going to do a deep dive, not on a Treehouse of Horror. We did a deep dive on some Treehouse of Horrors last year, but we're going to be doing a deep dive on Halloween of Horror, which was season 27, episode 4 of The Simpsons. They did two Halloween episodes this year, or that year.
Almost 8 years ago, which I also can't believe because I watched this on first viewing and I was like, was this seriously season 27? That was my first thought when I rewatched.
In my mind, 10 years ago was always 1997. Like, I'm just stuck in that mode, which maybe shows my age a little bit. But yeah, it was always 1997 10 years ago. And we're coming up on... It was more than that. I don't math anymore. But
2015 was 8 years ago. Everybody, let that sink. Almost 9 years ago.
That's
crazy. Let that sink.
That's
in.
Crazy. What were you doing? What were you doing in 20? What were you doing 9 years ago?
Oh my God. Well, good question. It feels like an eternity ago. So I honestly couldn't. You know, when I try to remember, I wasn't even living in this same house when this episode came out. So I guess it has been quite a while. But again, I'm telling you guys, the older you get, the more you try to think back like 5 to 10 years, it feels really strange.
It really does. Yeah.
It'll mess with you. But yeah, so Brandon is correct. We're going to talk about Halloween of Horror today. But before we start the deep dive, before we read the synopsis, before we do any of that, I just want to say thank all of you so much for the response to last week's episode, to the announcement, to the book. I was overwhelmed by the response and just all the nice messages, all the kind words, all the people that told me they pre-ordered it. That means so much to me, as it does James and Lydia and Caroline and everyone involved in this project. So I just had to mention up top how much that meant to me. And if you haven't pre-ordered the book yet, or if you haven't listen to that episode about the book and how it came to be, that was last week's episode. So go check it out. I'm going to put the pre-order links in this description as well. So you can grab it if you want. And it's, you know, all about the scope of the merchandise over 3 decades of the show. And it took me 2 years to finish. So it's big. It's a big book. So go grab it. And that would mean so much to me. So, Brandon, let's do it, man. Halloween of Horror, are we in?
I'm in.
So, like Brandon said, this episode is from season 27, the fourth episode of season 27. It aired on October 18th, 2015, 8 fucking years ago. Crazy. It was written by Carolyn Amine, who we love on this show. Big Carolyn Amine supporter. She's written some of my favorite episodes of the show, period. One of the strongest writers currently still working on the show, and directed by Mike B. Anderson, another heavy hitter in the world of The Simpsons. He's directed some great episodes. Go check out his list of credits, and you will be impressed.
You really will.
And as always, we're going to start off with a synopsis.
Let's do it.
When Lisa becomes frightened at the Krusty Land Halloween Horror Night, Homer is forced to take down Ever Scream Terror's decorations. Halloween pop-up employees seek vengeance on Homer for causing them to lose their jobs and rob the family house while Homer and Lisa take shelter in the attic. Homer and Lisa light the stored holiday decorations to attract attention and stand up to the intruders. Meanwhile, Marge takes Bart out for trick-or-treating, only to discover that it's too late. Womp womp. It's too late for Bart. Brandon, what did you think of this episode? Was this the first time that you saw it?
Yeah, it was my first time seeing it, and I really loved it. Some great gags in here, some great jokes. I also liked that they did a more traditional Halloween episode, just because, you know, Simpsons, we all love Treehouse of Horror. I mean, that is, for a lot of people, the reason for the season.
Absolutely.
It is the best. But it is nice to see them do something a little more grounded, you know? And a little more set in the Halloween world. Also, it is a Homer and Lisa episode through and through.
Oh my God, yes.
And my favorite episodes historically are always Homer and Lisa episodes. It's great.
Totally. Yeah. And also, you know, it's worth mentioning that this is the only time they've done a Halloween episode that was not a treehouse. So, you know, it's... And they still did a treehouse, which makes this season, like you said, even better. There's two.
Yeah.
So they do this, and then the following week they do treehouse. And I remember, you know, as this was airing, I was just so excited for that. It's funny to me they didn't think to do that sooner.
Yeah.
You know?
Took him 27 years.
27 years to consider doing a Halloween episode that was not, you know, three segments or, you know, bites on other properties or whatever. And I think that makes it special, not only because it's different and funny, or, you know, like you said, a Homer and Lisa episode, which I think anyone listening to this podcast, I'm willing to bet that you love those. I mean, those are like always some of the more heartwarming stories in the show. So it just has a lot going for it. It's a holiday we all love. It's a dynamic we all love, and it's very fucking funny. There's like some really laugh out loud jokes in this episode that I forget about every time, and then I go back to it. And I just get a great laugh every time, Brennan.
Yeah, there were a couple of jokes. I watched the episode a couple of times, and there was a few jokes that, I mean, every time I even knew they were coming, and they still really got me.
So good. And so right here at the top, the episode starts off with one of my favorite jokes in the entire episode, where the characters in the show somehow know about the Treehouse of Horror tradition before Homer makes up three fake segments.
Wait. The gravestones could be a little more crooked. Oh, let me just fluff up these entrails and light it up.
Halloween at the Simpsons. What a classic tradition. Are you heading up to the treehouse to tell three horrifying tales?
Yeah, we're doing it next week. It's going to be Psycho with Skinner and his mom, Muppet Wizard of Oz, I'm Scarecrow Fozzie, and then one where furniture gets smart and takes over the world or something.
Sounds chilling.
People love it.
Yeah, this part really, really cracked me up. I also wrote down the segments. I think we both did. I really loved one where furniture becomes smart and takes over the world or something. And he's so kind of
something.
He's kind of blasé about it. Like, yeah, you know, it's just the big thing that everyone loves that we have to do every year, and it's gonna be whatever.
well, that's the thing. Is like, not only are they fake, in my mind, I was like, this would be such a good opportunity to like mention the actual segments. And I don't know if the intention was to mention these segments that don't exist, making us all think that they were the real segments, but I think it would have been even funnier if they were the real segments.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if we went into the next week and we got Psycho with Skinner and his mom.
That sounds great, actually.
It does. Muppet Wizard of Oz with Homer as Scarecrow Fozzie. I love that he's like, I'm Scarecrow Fozzie. And then, you know, like Brennan said, one where the furniture gets smart and takes over the world or something. and you get this great little joke from Homer where he's like, nah, you know, people love it.
Yeah. So
we're just going to... I just think that that's so good, and it's... You know, it's that self-awareness that we all like about the show, but not only that, and something we'll talk about throughout this episode, this is sort of a different Homer in this episode. He really, in a good way, like we get a different side of him. He's a little more passionate. He's a little less dumb. He's a little more caring, which is something they do other times in the show. It's not the only time we see it. But it's really noticeable and it feels good.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like it's kind of a couple of things. You know, there's this Homer Lisa dynamic which comes up much later that's, you know, shows a different side of Homer, but also just him being really passionate about something that's not beer and football is different for Homer. And like he really loves Halloween, and it's nice cuz it's like we can like relate to Homer. We have something new to relate to Homer about, which is kind of fun, you know?
Totally. And this, you know, this rolls me into another thing that I know, you know, I've had several conversations about this in my personal life. I know Brandon and I have talked about it, and they mentioned directly how Halloweening your house is a dying art.
Yes.
I completely agree with this, Brandon. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. We love decorating our house. It's a big part of it. We don't even really decorate for any of the other holidays. It's just Halloween. And it's, you know, every year it's like, I want it to be bigger, more, more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I actually wanted to ask you about what's your favorite Halloween decoration?
So it changes. Like one thing that we've always done is fill the yard up with tombstones for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, you get the skeletons, you get the tombstones. There's just something so classic. about that. You know, you put the, you hang the ghosts on the, on the banister, you do all this stuff, you know? But I think for me, it's like just the simple stuff because it reminds me the most of childhood. It's like, it's the cheap plastic ghosts. It's the crappy little skeletons, the styrofoam, tombstones, the little fake graveyard. That all really speaks to me. What about you?
Yeah, definitely the same. We have some tombstones that we made. I really love any decoration that we can like, that has a really kind of campy homemade feeling to it.
Yeah.
Not like a Pinterest, I'm too cool for school made decoration. Like, it's like, I'm talking like 5-year-olds making some stuff with some glue sticks. Like, I love that feel. So we have a bunch of stuff like that. We made a bunch of like cut out ghosts and tombstones and stuff that are really good. We also do have, I mean, are kind of a more advanced man.
Get it out, Brandon. It's okay. We warned you guys. There's going to be some of those.
Yeah, it's because we were screaming all night.
Yeah, we're so scared. All the stuff we were watching.
So we have some animatronic skeletons that we've named lovingly Hank and Abernathy. they both have banjos. And they're like motion sensor. When you walk by, they start playing banjo music and they kind of get into like a dueling banjo thing. There's a whole little skit. They like talk to each other and I love it. It reminds me of like going to like Billy Bob's or whatever the other pizza place was as a kid that had
incredible.
All the
animatronics. Yeah. Yeah. I love that my answer is like, yeah, you know, I like kind of like the cheap fun stuff. Brandon's like, yeah, we have animatronic skeletons.
We have animatronic skeletons.
We made all our decorations. We're crafty. You fucking loser.
Just really cool, you know?
It shocks no one that listens to this show that Brandon is crafty. We all know that, Brandon. We love that. We love that about you. I feel like this whole attitude that we see from like Homer and Marge, like just getting mad at the neighbors, that's literally me and my wife. It's just, we always talk about how, you know, maybe if we decorate earlier, you know, the neighborhood will kind of come together and they'll get inspired to like join
us. Be the change you want to see.
Yeah. And I just, you know, it drives me nuts because when I was a kid, like, I feel like everyone decorated a little bit. Like it was kind of normal. Halloween was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the older I get, the more you notice that, I mean, it's still a thing. I don't want to act like it's dead. Like, you know, people love the season. They love watching scary stuff, you know. But it's just less, people are less excited to do the fun stuff, like putting, you know, blow-ups in their yard and, you know, skeletons like bowing to other skeletons and just fun, weird stuff like that. You want to see that. And I think we miss that a lot these days. I'm sure there's listeners that are like, no, my neighborhood goes crazy, but.
Yeah, my neighborhood goes pretty crazy. There's one of our neighbors, they actually like build a haunted house in their backyard every year for the kids to like.
Okay, Brandon, just rub it in. Yeah, okay. There's some of us that are cool. we're not blessed that way. Okay. That's just
and they give out full size candy bars. It's wild.
Amazing. You know, hey, you just gotta keep pushing until we bring the neighbors in.
Yeah.
So after the family realizes that Homer melted, we'll move along into the episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
So after the family realizes that Homer melted the plastic skeletons by putting them too close to the furnace, we hear Bart and especially Lisa get super excited about Krusty Land Halloween Horror Night.
Oh man, I can't wait for tonight. I'm finally old enough for Krusty Land Halloween Horror Night.
Oh yeah, they do it up right. Wait till you try the black cotton candy. It tastes just like cotton candy.
Tomorrow, when my friends ask me about it, I'm going to say, it wasn't that big a deal. But it's going to be a really, really big deal.
There's also a great visual joke here about all the Halloween pop-up stores, which I think is just super funny. I feel like every year they just come out of, you know, they just exist. There's just like 15 of them in your neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. I like there's a gag there where they get to the Halloween store and they're looking at one, and then across the street is another one, and one's called the Halloween store, and the other one's called the official Halloween store. And Homer's like, official, eh? And
that's official, the one they go to. Clearly, this is a bite on Spirit Halloween, which I don't know how that company has so much money, but every year there's just like 15 or 16 Spirit Halloweens in town. It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. I always actually, this is going to be like a snake eating its own tail sort of thing, but the Spirit of Halloween always reminds me of a really great Simpsons gag that I don't exactly remember what episode it's from, but it's from the first 10 seasons. And it's Bart's at the mall and he's walking through, and the stores are slowly turning into Starbucks. And
he walks into
one store, and he's like, and the guy's like, "Sorry, kid, you got to get out of here. In 10 minutes, this place is going to be a Starbucks."
I mean, that's honestly how it is. And also, I want to ask you, is it honestly called Spirit of Halloween?
I think it is, isn't it? I'm the wrong person.
Okay, well, I've my whole life called it Spirit Halloween, which makes no sense. And I think I'm just an idiot. I think I just learned something new.
Spirit Halloween. I love it.
Spirit Halloween. Man, everyone's making fun of me right now. Boy, is my face red. Brandon, have you ever been to Halloween Horror Nights, like in real life?
Halloween Horror Nights?
Yeah. They do it at like Universal Studios and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know it was an actual thing.
Brandon.
Holy shit. I've not.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's definitely based on a real thing that they do at Universal Studios. It's cool. I've been before. It is honestly scarier than you would think.
Yeah.
Some of those, because they do these like, you know, themed houses that you walk through.
Whoa.
And they're pretty fucking scary.
Yeah.
Put that on your list, Brandon. They're fun. We haven't been in a few years. Mostly because I'm sort of Lisa. I get a little scared. People run into me with chainsaws.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I have been to my hometown growing up, and I think that they still do this. There's a tradition that they've been doing around Halloween for like since the 80s, I want to say, and it's called the Haunted Tunnel. And in my hometown, there is a, it used to be a roadway tunnel that kind of like went through this little hill to get you out of town. And it was the only way in and out if you were heading in a certain direction for a very long time. And then one day they built a new road and closed the tunnel. And the tunnel's still there. And what they do is they like open the tunnel up and they put all these little, it's kind of like this, you know, what you're talking about, where like they have all these little rooms you walk through and people jump out and scare you. There's guys with chainsaws that have the things removed and all that. And we used to go to it every year. And I was definitely Lisa. It scared the shit out of me. The thing that really got me, and I would always do exactly what Lisa did in this episode, was the chainsaws, just the sound of them. Those guys would really go for it, you know. And of course, they have the blades removed, but the motor's still going. And it like, I'd always be, it's not real. It's not real. And they'd come, you know, and they like knew who the scared kids were. So they'd really like go after them. You know?
Yeah, man. Wow. I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead in the episode, but it sounds like Brandon set off the crybaby alarm.
Definitely. It scared the crap out of me. Yeah, the haunted tunnel, man. It was
amazing. That sounds fantastic. So after we learn about all the pop-up stores, we see Apu yell at three lazy employees who are huffing glow sticks and I guess drinking or snorting silly string or something like that. Before they offer Homer a sketchy discount on some merchandise, Homer instantly tells Apu, because he's Homer, getting them fired and leading them to seek revenge.
Mariachi skeleton. They're spooky, but they also teach you about Mexico.
Psst. Hey, big man, how about this deal? You buy one for me in cash, and I'll load three more into your car for free.
That is a great deal.
Just don't tell old man Squishy about it.
Yes. You got some great guys working here. They just gave me a really good deal.
Really? Tell me of this deal.
Okay, but don't tell old man Squishy about it. We hate him.
Get out, out, all of you! Pop-up scum, out! No one rips off Apu Naasapima Patalan. Now take your suspiciously full duffel bags and go!
You're gonna be real sorry for getting us fired.
Well, I'm sorry now.
Yeah, you're gonna be.
I said I'm sorry now.
We said you're gonna be.
I know when I'm sorry, and I'm sorry now. You guys don't know me at all.
So before we leave the Halloween store, I did take some note of some of the merchandise. You know, I'm always doing
stuff. Brandon. Like-minded, brother.
Yeah.
Like-minded.
So some of the good ones were Leaping Gravestone, and it's a little gravestone on a spring, which I think I need. I think I need to get some Leaping gravestones.
Me too.
There was a Big and Tall Giant costume, which I thought was really funny because it's like big and tall giant.
Love that.
Soiled Ghost, and it was a ghost that had peed itself.
Honestly, considering that for a Halloween costume.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
There's bulk skulls, just a pig nose, yeah. And then some kosher fangs, which I don't know what makes them kosher, but...
I would love to know, and I would love to know why the vampire is saying glat. I also didn't get that joke.
Me either.
There's a couple more, Brandon, that you missed. I'm surprised that I really liked.
All right, you go for it.
No, I was going to say the wrapping pile of guts.
Yep. There was wrapping pile of guts, talking pile of guts, and then at the cashier, when he's talking to Apu, there is the mini guts.
Oh,
that he was stocking on the wall there.
And of course you have the striped hamburger thief and the restaurant meat clown, which is the first time I saw this episode, I remember that making me laugh harder than it should. It's a pretty dumb joke, really, really good. Yeah, I love all the background designs in this store anyway. This is like an era of the show where the backgrounds get a lot more detailed. And some people complain about that. But I think especially in episodes like this, it opens up a lot more gags. And it also just makes it more fun to sort of look in the background. I also loved the joke of the aisle that had the cobwebs on it said web, comma, cobs. Which I thought was really good.
Like they're alphabetized.
I guess so. So I thought that was really great. So now getting into the point of the episode, which is Lisa's trauma, we see Homer, Bart, and Lisa arrive at Halloween Horror Night. Lisa is instantly terrified despite trying to act like it's not scary. She's like, oh, I thought this was going to be scary. This is fine. But Homer encourages her to tough it out because of all the money he spent. I love this clip.
Head stamp required for re-entry.
That's not scary. I thought this was going to be scary. Scary! That's really anatomical. Lot of anatomy there.
Oh, yeah. The gore is super realistic. It's got to be. Today's consumer is just too sophisticated.
I want to go home. I want to go home.
What? No, we just got here.
Lisa, honey, I think you should stay. And not because the tickets were super expensive, even though they were super expensive. But remember, you were really looking forward to the fun of being scared by stuff you know isn't real. Unlike the money I spent on this, which is very real.
Okay. I'll give it another try.
Good. Now take my hand and I'll walk you through this roiling zombie horde.
This isn't real.
I honestly can't imagine a kid not being terrified of this. I mean, Brandon and I were just saying that this sort of thing is scary to an adult if it's done correctly. You take an 8-year-old to this, how would it not make them react this way? Even if they know it's not real, I feel like this is just genuinely scary. And as someone who has been to the real Halloween Horror Nights, I just feel like it's not for children this small.
Yeah, totally. I love Lisa. There's some great Lisa stuff in here. She's like psyching herself up. You know, we have a whole mini arc here where she's like, no, I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. I'm going to brag to all the kids tomorrow about how like tough I was. And it's fun seeing that side of Lisa that's like
totally
kind of competitive and wants to be tough, you know. And then it just there was a gag that really got me. And she says, that's really anatomical. A lot of anatomy there. And then she just, that's like the beginning of the meltdown for her.
Dude, well, I mean, the thing is, like, this scene is packed with good stuff. I mean, as you heard in the clip, the speech from Homer about the money is really funny. I mean, like,
yeah, it's good.
None of this is real, unlike the money I spent, which is very real. You know, like, that's all really good. But, you know, we talked about up top a little bit how Homer is different in this episode. And so is Lisa. Like, Homer is more of a dad. Lisa is more of a child. I feel like we get this really fun dynamic. It kind of reminds me of like Lisa's pony in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's something to this relationship that sometimes gets lost, or you kind of forget how much Homer actually cares, because we've talked about on this podcast a lot, you know, the whole Billie Eilish thing where people got mad that there were jokes about Homer not being a great dad. And historically, he's not.
He really is.
He does make a lot of fucking mistakes.
He literally chokes that's kind of the his point. Son regularly.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of his character. He's an idiot. But we do see moments throughout the show where he is a good dad. And I feel like this episode, especially in a modern episode, is like one of the best examples of it. And it's touching. It's moving. It's like such an interesting story for these two.
Yeah, it gave me feelings of one of my favorite episodes, which is Lost Our Lisa. I love that episode. And it really gave me some of those feelings, you know, because in that episode, Homer's kind of trying. He's trying to try, you know, I'm using my whole ass sort of thing. I really like in this when they are in the Halloween Horror Night, there's a couple of things I really love is there's a wonderful cameo from one of my favorite characters. Homer and Lisa start walking through a field of zombies, and then Homer comes out on the other. He's holding Lisa's hand. He comes out on the other side, and Homer is somehow holding Hans Molman's hand, and he doesn't realize it's not Lisa. And he's standing in line to get a pretzel, and Hans Molman is like, clearly not Lisa. And he's like, shut up, Lisa. Daddy's trying to get a pretzel.
Yeah, you got to decide what to go. You know, do you want the peanut-ish butter or the... the what was it like the salt frosting?
Or I actually really, wrote them all down.
Please, Brandon, tell us.
Spooky toppings at Krusty Land pretzel stand. There's salty, extra salty, ultra salty, plain salt frosting.
Whoa.
And peanut-ish butter. So it's literally just they only have salt pretzels and unsalted pretzels. They're just they're just painting it up.
Yeah, I'm curious about that salt frosting. I mean, it's got to be at least a little sweet. You know, that sounds pretty good. No, I love everything about this because Lisa, you know, it doesn't make sense in audio, so I didn't clip this, but all the stuff where she is starting to panic and she's looking for help and she runs up to the mom and then the baby jumps out with the chainsaw and then she runs to the security guard and for some reason an alien jumps out of his chest and just this whole world of like everything is scary. No one is here to help Lisa is very, very funny, but also played super sincerely by Yardley as Lisa. It's like, you can tell she's terrified. It's like, it feels scary.
Yeah, it does.
The whole thing is really great. And when Homer gets to her, it's sad.
Yeah.
Like the way she whimpers, the way like you feel for her in that moment.
I also liked when they push the crybaby alarm and the whole place stops. He comes over, the head of security comes over the loudspeaker and says, bring all laughter and exhilaration to a complete stop. And everyone pulls their phones out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone just goes dead-eyed and pulls their phones out.
It's so good. And I just love everything about this. So up next, we see the kids go to school where Bart gets his pirate costume instantly ruined by Skinner. You know, gives him the pretend sash, takes away all the cool parts of his costume. Lisa gets even more scared of Halloween at every turn. Some great animation in this scene. All before she's brought home early by Marge and insists that Homer take down their decorations.
Homer, I think we should take down Everscream Terrors.
What? But we can't! I'm the Mozart of Halloween decorations, and tonight is the Super Bowl.
Lisa's in a bad place. You know how sensitive she is. We don't want her to go back to Taylee.
No, she wouldn't. She couldn't. Not Taylee. Where is she?
Oh, God. We're too late.
The glue stick didn't hold.
So, Taylee's back.
Taylee just makes me feel so safe. I don't know why I ever gave it up.
Breaks my heart that Lisa can't deal with her emotions without a crutch.
Well, kids are weak, Marge.
So this is where we learn about Taylee, Brandon, which is really, really good. This is like such an interesting dynamic for Lisa that honestly you can apply to her whole character, which is, I always like this kind of lore about characters. entails, you know, a piece of Lisa's childhood, helps her cope when she's scared, just kind of brings her comfort. Did you have anything like this from childhood, Brandon? Did you a Taylee or like a blank? You did.
I did. Oh, absolutely. And it's people are going to think I'm making it up, but I had a tiny little bear and his name was Boo Boo. So I'm very much like, I swear to God I did. And I really did like keep it until it was like, it was all crusty and like eye falling off into like that. No joke. I know it just, it sounds like I'm making it up because of Mr. Burns, but it's very true.
Amazing. Yeah. So Burns had Bobo and Brandon had Boo Boo.
I had Boo Boo. So yeah, there
long,
it is.
Long lost cousins.
Yeah, it was a little velvet, like blue velvet bear. Very
now,
small.
How long did you have Boo Boo?
I'm holding him right now.
No, stop. Do you really?
No, I don't have him anymore. I think I had him until, like, when I was a teenager, you know, he was, like, in, kind of like in this episode, he was, like, in a little, like, memory box that, you know, I bet my mom still has him because she keeps everything.
Oh, my God.
I know we moved, and
I'm telling all of you right now listening at home if or in your car or at work that if Brandon pulled that bear into frame after I asked him, I would have absolutely died. It would have been so funny.
It would have been pretty good.
If he was like, well, as a matter of fact, he's right here.
I'm going to have to call my mom and ask her if she still has it.
You need Boo Boo, man. I think you should get Boo Boo on
that. That's what's been missing in my life, I feel like.
I think maybe that's, you know, you thought it was the lucky shirt, losing the lucky shirt, but it's really just not having Boo Boo.
It's just not having Boo Boo. What about you? Did you have anything?
No, I honestly, for whatever reason, I've always been attached to things, but not...
No,
not you? Like childhood things. Not like, yeah. I mean, maybe my version of Boo Boo is the Simpsons. Like maybe just the Simpsons in general. But no particular object has survived. I mean, I've met people that are like, oh, I still have my blanket from when I was two or whatever. And I, you know, I'm not hating on anyone. It's just that's so interesting to me. I feel like I grew out of that sort of attachment to like, you know, childlike objects. But maybe you know,
there's
maybe
no,
not. I have
no
a room
lore.
Full of toys.
I also still, and I do have this, I still have my my Buzz Lightyear toy from when I was a kid.
Okay. Well, that's just cool.
OG Buzz Lightyear.
Isn't it crazy that Toy Story is that old? You had it when you were a child.
It's insane, dude. Talk about some years ago. It was 1995.
Insane. That's when the movie came out. I'm not ready to hear that. So I love in this scene, Homer makes this joke about Taylee being a crutch and then immediately takes a swig of his flask. I just think that's such a great joke.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, kids are weak, Marge. You know, gulp, gulp.
I want to roll back for just a second.
Yeah.
Before we get too far away from it. Just wanted to talk for a moment about the kids going to school, dressing up for Halloween and going to school. Time-honored tradition. I wanted to give a quick shout out to Martin, who dressed up as the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man in this episode.
He certainly did.
It was very good. Very good. And just ask you, did you have any memorable childhood costumes you dressed up as?
So I am really boring when it comes to costumes, and I still am as an adult. So when I was a kid, I only cared about the candy. Like, this is just the honest truth. Like, I liked Halloween, but, we were sort of, balling on a budget in my childhood. And I also, my mom couldn't afford like super, great costumes. So I was the kid that, I'd be Batman, just the tiny, Ben Cooper plastic mask or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was an age where I was like, oh, wait, I can just get face paint and just either be a zombie or Dracula every year. And so that was what I was for a very long time. And then at a certain age, I got really into wrestling. So then I started being Sting. But more specifically, Wolfpack Sting. So
that's good. That's a really good
answer. So lots of face paint in my childhood. So nothing cool to brag about now.
And I don't know. That's pretty cool. Like face paint, got some solid wrestling in there. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I also was super into wrestling for a short time. There's that. Yeah. There's that like really narrow window when like you as a dude like puberty's coming on, but it hasn't fully come on yet. So you're starting to get those sort of like hormones, and all of that. And wrestling just really fits that small little window. And then puberty fully comes on and, it's
I mean,
sex,
again,
drugs, and rock and roll after that. So
NWO was huge for a lot of kids, and I just thought that was the coolest shit ever. And then they branched off into the Wolfpack, and I was totally Wolfpack, as if, you know, as if I didn't make that obvious by my distinction of Wolfpack Sting. But I wrote hard for Wolfpack. That was like, I thought that was the coolest shit in the world. And I remember when Sting betrayed Wolfpack and went back to just regular NWO, I was like heartbroken. So
that's a true sign of a wrestle fan. When you know the storylines, because that's what wrestling's really about. It's a soap opera for 12-year-old boys. And like when you get the storylines going, that's when it's,
I mean, there's people that still really love it, and I think that's cool. I just can't do it at my current age. What about you, Brandon? What's your most memorable childhood costume?
So one year I dressed up as Genie from Aladdin, painted my face blue, and it was, I mean, I was obsessed with Robin Williams. I was obsessed with Aladdin. So like, I felt like it was one of those going to school. I was like, I'm going to be everybody's favorite today. I thought that I was going to win Halloween, that I had the coolest costume of all time. Get to school. I think the worst is when you dress up as something and somebody asks you, what are you? Like, they don't catch it. They don't know what you're like. It's very obvious that I am Robin Williams' Genie from Aladdin right here. What do you mean, what am I?
And they're like, what is this, Blue Man Group?
Yeah. Yeah, totally, totally. I blew myself. And it didn't really, it kind of fell flat. But then towards the end of the day, there was a girl was like, I like your costume. And I was like, I was 10 feet tall after that, you know?
Yeah, man. You just need that one compliment.
Need that one compliment.
What are you going to be for Halloween this year, Brandon? Have you planned it yet?
Oh, yeah. Spoilers, but Lindsay and I are going as Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World.
Love that.
Yep.
That's a great costume.
It's going to be Garth. I'm going to be Wayne. I got the hat and a wig.
Well, so I'm actually keeping it in the Matt Groening universe this year, and I am going to dress up. I did not dress up last year, but I've already gotten my costume. And any Disenchantment fans out there, this is pretty obvious. But I'm going to be King Zog.
Nice.
It's one of the only characters I look like. So I just have to be King Zog. So I got the whole thing. I'm going to shave the beard down to the stash.
Whoa, and, shaving the beard.
I mean, I got to be accurate to the character. That's He's got true. A mustache, That's not a true. Beard. So we're going to be King Zog.
Can't wait to see some pictures of that.
Oh, I'll give you some photos, Brandon. Don't you worry. After the school debacle, Lisa hides in the locker. She's terrified. Marge comes to get her. And we get back home, and Bart is super mad about the decorations coming down. And we get my favorite Marge moment of the episode right here.
No, no! Stop it! Why are you taking down Everscream Terrors?
Our house has to be a Halloween-free zone. Your sister has a tummy ache in her courage.
What? Lisa goes nuts, and you turn us into skippers?
I know what this makes us. I know!
Honey, I knew you'd be upset and that you'd think only of yourself. So I'm taking you to the best trick-or-treating block party in the Tri-Springfield area. There's a dad who's a DJ, even an E.T. who says your name.
What if I tell the E.T. my name is a swear?
He'll have to say it.
Then I'm in.
So this is all perfect. This is like ultimate Marge and Bart. It feels very classic. You know, Marge with the, I knew you'd be upset and think only of yourself. All the stuff about the DJ and the ET who will say your name, the way Julie delivers those lines.
Yeah.
Fucking destroy me. It makes me laugh so hard.
I really laughed at your sister has a tummy ache and her courage.
That's really good. That's so really funny. Good. I mean, come on, man. This is like classic Bart. The what if I tell ET my name is a swear?
Yeah.
And Marge, he'll have to say it. Like, he'll it's all so it. Good. And we later, you know, as those listening to this, I hope you actually watch the episode before you listen to us talk about it or after. But we do see that ET later, and the payoff is worth it.
It's very worth it. I also like in this scene, they're talking about canceling Halloween and all that. And I like Homer saying, I'm the Mozart of Halloween decorations, and tonight is the Super Bowl. I love a good mixed metaphor joke, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. Also, everything, even Homer being like, I know what this makes us. I know. Like, he's so upset. It's just perfect. Also, you know, we talk about Homer, Lisa. I love a Marge Bart moment or a Marge Bart episode as well. And we do get that in a much smaller way in this episode. But even their dynamic, like Marge really wants to like come through for Bart and not, you know, not let Halloween be ruined for him. And I think that's also really, really sweet. We get some great stuff out of that.
Both Marge and Homer are rocking parenting in this episode.
Oh,
they're co-parenting like motherfuckers. Marge's like, okay, I'm going to go take care of this. You take care of that. They're nailing it, which is really nice to see. There's some teamwork happening here.
Some serious, serious teamwork. And so this, I'm making this next clip a little long because I just love what Lisa says about the puzzle. Next, we are reintroduced to the angry Halloween store employees.
Okay, sweetie, just you and me spending a regular Eve together. Nothing Hallows about it.
I'm sorry I ruined Halloween, Dad.
Ruined? Why, you just created a new holiday. Puzzle Wednesday.
A tabby and a calico. I wouldn't want to be that ribbon. Trick-or-treaters?
Don't worry, I'll get rid of them.
Trick-or-treat.
Watch lights off, kids. Don't you know what that means?
We're not here for candy, big man.
Hey, you're those pop-up scuzzos. What do you scuzzos want?
We want our jobs back.
Look, I don't want to be rude, but you sad losers should go suck somewhere else. That was just a kindly priest here to bless our home. I told him to keep moving. Hey, another visitor? Isn't life funny and safe? Can't you jerks take a hint?
So this episode is special because, you know, we've been harping on this the whole time, but we really do see, like, this is the moment in the episode where I think the different side of Homer really comes through, because he didn't just, like, you know, if this were, you know, any normal Simpsons episode, Homer would, well, he would throw a fit at not getting his way. But here we see him actually, you know, he's upset that he has to take down the decorations, but he also is concerned about Lisa, and he's trying to like make this a little easier for her. And I just think that that's really great. So he's like, oh, you know, we're just having a normal evening. We're going to do a puzzle. And this like sort of more understanding side of Homer really rounds out his character well when we see it in episodes like this.
Yeah, it's really great. There's a lot of great moments in this sort of scene too. I really love that, you know, Homer like made some popcorn. He like made some sort of plan to kind of distract her. But there's also some great jokes. I really love there's a single line, not even a line, but a fragment of a line. He calls the Halloween guys pop-up scuzzos, which I've never heard scuzzos before.
Scuzzos is a strong word. That's a good word.
It's good. I really like bozos. I use the word bozos a lot. Like,
same.
But scuzzos, I might have to start saying that one. That's pretty good. I also like, I think you also wrote it down, but isn't life funny and safe?
Isn't life funny and safe? Another visitor. Isn't life funny and safe? That's like perfectly delivered. You know, he not only does he call them scuzzos, but he makes one of my favorite jokes also, where he says, I don't want to be rude, but you sad losers should go suck somewhere else. Like, that's fucking great.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then
I don't want to be rude, but you should get the fuck away from here right now.
Yeah. I think we should also call out that there's some guest voices here. One of the pop-up scuzzos is none other than Nick Kroll. Who's a comedian. He's all over the place. If you're a Parks and Rec fan, he is
totally
the douche. Really wonderful. And then I wrote his name down and I forgot it. I know his face. It's the guy from Workaholics.
Yes.
Is the other. I don't know. I don't remember his name though.
Oh, his name is Blake Anderson.
Blake Anderson. There we go.
Blake Anderson. I had to think about it for 2 seconds. But yeah, I meant to mention that up top. It's interesting that they are guests, because someone could have easily just done this role for the show, but it's really good. They're both very funny.
Yeah, they're really great. They really kind of lean into the characters, which is really fun. Yeah.
It seems like they've known some people like this in their life.
Yeah,
maybe.
And I wanted to mention this way earlier, but it's coming up now. The pop-up guys remind me a lot of the Carnies from the Carney episode. With
totally.
Jim Varney as the Carnies when they dupe Homer and take the house, which is
amazing.
Kind of a fun, I don't know if it's necessarily a callback, but my brain made it that, so it was good.
I think that they seem like kindred spirits. Like they, you know, these would have been Carnies in another circumstance.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe the modern Carney is the pop-up store worker.
Could easily be. That does make sense. So this next part, when we see Marge and Bart go to the block party, there's not a lot of great audio in this because so much of it is visual. So I'm not going to clip it, but all of this is incredible. Marge offering, you know, we make this joke earlier about the ziplining Groupon. Marge offering it to him is one thing, but him being like, ziplining is everything.
That line killed me.
Unbelievable. Makes me laugh so hard every time. And then, you know, we're riding around. We see the dad DJ. We see all, I mean, this party
Bouncy
looks
castle.
Incredible. Is it this does. What your neighborhood is like, Brandon?
Yeah, this actually was filmed in my neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just rub that in as well. I'm so, this looks so great. I love this. And we, not only do we see the dad DJing, but we see E.T. calling a kid scrotum.
That line killed me.
And it destroys Bart because he's like, this is what I want to do. I want to give him a swear.
Some other kid got there.
Scrotum.
I also want to call out that the neighborhood was is called Pine Hills, and then they just added an S and a C to call it Spine Chills for the
Gotta
holidays.
Gotta love that.
It's really good.
That's fantastic. Really good. Does your neighborhood have a cute name, Brandon?
No, it doesn't. Maybe
if you want to really take it up a notch, what is your neighborhood? Does your neighborhood have like a name in general?
It is Rock Hill Gardens. So
okay,
we need to make that spooky.
Crack Skull Gardens. There you go. I just solved it for you.
That's great. I'm going to go.
Put an A over the O. You're there. You got that.
Yeah, that's good.
I believe in you. But yeah, I love all the Marge and Bart stuff. He makes them leave. Fantastic. And then we see up next Homer lock up the house. So Lisa's doing the puzzle. You know, but it's too late. She doesn't know what's going on, but the intruders have already entered the house, and Homer's doing his best to keep that from Lisa.
I can't let Lisa know we're being stalked by vengeful seasonal thugs. I'll just whistle a happy tune.
Why are you locking up the house?
Why does anything happen? Why are blue jeans blue? Who invented haircuts? It's all just stuff I'm saying. Oh, how did that get there?
I was going to say, I got a funny thing here. When Homer is trying to, he's like frantically trying to lock up the house. Lisa's asking questions, and Homer's like still trying to sell it to her that everything's okay, even though he's like losing it a little bit.
Yeah.
And he says, "Why are blue jeans blue? Who invented haircuts? It's all just stuff I'm saying.
It's all just stuff I'm saying."
So I looked it up. If you want to know why blue jeans are blue and who
I would
invented
love to.
Haircuts, it led me down two rabbit holes. Blue jeans are blue because the indigo dye that they use does not absorb into the fabric when it's heated, when it's washed.
Whoa.
Instead, indigo is actually like a fabric softener when it gets wet, which gives blue jeans, as you wash them, it softens them up and makes them have that comfy, these were made just for me feeling that we all love.
So it makes them last longer, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. It makes
incredible.
Makes them feel nice and soft and all that. Then we don't know who invented haircuts, but apparently we've been having haircuts for like 30,000 years. There's been evidence in ancient civilization. There were even barbers in ancient Egypt. So
amazing.
There you go. It's your
just
fun,
guys
fun
who
fact.
People who had a knack for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that.
I bet there were some bet there were some sick haircuts back in the Egyptian days.
I would love to see the setup back then.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to hear the banter in the barbershop. So this scene sets up a lot, but it also brings me to something I talk about a lot. And it's a reason I don't enjoy some movies on this subject. Home invasion is one of my biggest fears.
I wrote down that this reminded me of a specific home invasion movie.
What was that?
Called The Strangers.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar.
With Liv Tyler.
Those movies don't do it for me, man. They're too realistic. They're too, like, probable.
Yeah.
And so totally. That's like, I like scary stuff that I don't think can happen. But when I watch, like, home invasion stuff, I'm like, oh, that seems terrifying and could actually happen to anyone, really. Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of that topic when it comes to scary stuff.
Yeah, for me, it's more like I love a horror movie, and I even like a little bit of violence in my horror movie, but I don't like the sort of, it's been dubbed torture porn, like where it's just like torture for the sake of torture, and there's not really anything else going on in the story other than that, you know. I like a good creepy movie, psychological thriller, and... You know, if it's bloody, I like it to be pretty cartoony.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I realized at a pretty young age that if I'm going to watch something scary, I want it to be creepy, but not like disturbing in a way that's like I can handle jump scares. I can handle like psychological stuff or like stuff that's very like heady. But if it's just a bunch of people being brutally murdered, it's not as much for me. You know, yeah. I know some people love that stuff. I like it if it's absurd enough, like if it's like ridiculous enough, I can enjoy it. So it all depends. I don't know. It's just like most stuff that's like home invasion based. It's just like, man, that's, you want to feel safe in your home. You don't want to feel like any given day someone could just like bust in and take your stuff and hurt you. So
that's true.
So that's I share Homer's fear. It's a very scary thing. So up next, we see Marge try her best to make Halloween not a disaster for Bart. She, you know, she's trying to like take him trick or treat. She's like, no, it's not too late. Let's go. We'll go to some houses. All before a great song about adult sexy Halloween, which is just, it's great, but it's too long. I didn't want to clip it for this, but I love all the costumes. That's like such a great thing. Followed by Homer and Lisa devising a plan in the attic.
Can't hide forever, Thumbhead. Sooner or later, you're gonna have to buy Thanksgiving decoration, and we'll be waiting by the Indian corn.
Oh no, now they're trashing our stuff. Oh, they tangled up my wind chimes. How will I know when the wind is blowing?
Oh, I hate this. I hate feeling afraid.
Maybe I shouldn't admit this to my daughter, but I'm scared too. But you can't let fear shut down your brain, because between the two of us, we've only got one good one.
I've got it. What if we use these decorations to signal for help?
You're right. I may not be the smartest, Dad, or the bravest, or the smartest, but I am great at one thing, drawing attention to our home.
If we're going to get out of this, we're going to need every holiday you've got.
Yeah, so I want to go back to adult sexy Halloween for just a moment. I love a Simpsons musical number. I've had the Garbage Man song in my head for 12 years, I think.
Totally.
Just on loop. It's like I woke up this morning and I was humming it. And it's kind of like the intro to this podcast, but all the time I'm humming the Garbage Man song and Lindsay's like, Brandon, you have to stop with this song. You have to. Everything depends on you stopping on this song.
Oh my God. We all have that one thing that just drives our significant other crazy that we just like to do.
The Garbage Man can. But I took a lot of screenshots of these costumes from Adult Sexy Halloween. There's some good ones in here. Some that I just want to call out. We have Willie as Rosie the Riveter, which is pretty great.
Really good.
It's really good. I really like Snake as Elvis because, of course, he would dress up as Elvis. Like, you ask Snake, you know, it's going to be Elvis or, like, Waylon Jennings or something.
Right.
I liked Professor Frink and the steampunk orgy because, you know, that's exactly right.
That's good.
Professor Frink went to Burning Man, he would be dressing up as steampunk. Like, that would be totally the reason he was there. We have Wiggum as Frank as a bondage Frankenstein, which is pretty interesting.
We have Kirk and Luann as squirrels.
Oh, yeah.
I believe. Yeah. We have Dr. Hibbert as sexy Dracula.
Yes. oh, and Mo as King Tut, which is pretty good. Yeah.
It's really good. Eddie and Lou. I can't say their names. Eddie and Lou as Bert and Ernie. Which is really great.
Yeah, I had that screen. Where'd that go? Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, Brandon lost some of the screenshots. But no, there's like so many good ones. But
there
like,
there's a great line in the song. But you know what? I'm not going to be able to remember it exactly. So, but it was along those lines where it's like, you know, we've got nothing really to live for except for
they basically say like, yo, you know, our lives are bleak and dreary.
Yeah. So, there it is.
Yeah, it's really good. That whole thing is great. So that, I mean... Up there with one of the best Simpsons songs in a while. Super good. But all this stuff with Homer and, you know, again, this is like the heart of the episode. Homer and Lisa in the attic. And Homer's like very, you know, I'm scared too. This is like a scary thing that's happening. And
I like that he said, honey, I'm your dad and I've lied to you more times than there are stars in the sky. Yeah. And then he tells her the truth.
It's so good. And so that, you know, they're up there being, you know, very honest with each other. They're in this very like traumatizing situation, which Lisa's already been through a lot. And they really have no choice but to like figure out a way out of this. Like they have to just like kind of suck it up and do it. And that is, you know, comes right back to the decoration. So it's honestly, it comes full circle. If Homer hadn't taken down the decorations, he wouldn't have had the ability to use them to alert the neighborhood that they're in trouble. And so, again, it's like, this is just a side of Homer that, I'm not saying we need more of it because I think we get it so rarely that it feels more special when we do.
A tasteful amount.
And it just really makes this one stand out in a special way.
Yeah. I like, they have to get all of the all the decorations out, not just Halloween. They need all the decorations. So Lisa pulls back this thing showing all of these boxes. They have 4th of July decorations, Easter, Christmas, Valentine's Day, Thanksgiving, St. Patrick's Day, and Festivus.
I do love that. I also love that in this version of Homer, he's going way far out for every holiday. And I mean, you know, in early Simpsons, we see him go kind of hard for Christmas, and this is something that they try to do. But there's also versions of Homer we see over the course of the show where Christmas is sort of an afterthought and it's really lazy and everything like kind of looks like shit. I gotta say, I prefer this, like this very like passionate, no, let's make sure the decorations look good version of Homer. And I wouldn't rewrite him in any way. But I do love seeing this. I think it's like very wholesome and endearing, and it's nice to get a glimpse of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. There was a line when they're in the attic, which I wrote down, which I just thought was funny. They're hiding in the attic. They can hear the thugs going through their house, and you hear some chimes. And Homer goes, "They tangled up my wind chimes. How will I know when the wind is blowing?"
So it's good. I love that someone Homer wrote line. That in the script. That's so classic. And so what basically happens is they realize that they're discovered, and so they climb to the attic to alert the neighborhood, like we said. And so in this next clip, once they get to the attic, we have this special, or they get to the roof from the attic, we get this special moment where Lisa sort of not only faces her fears, but she says goodbye to Taylee.
"We're coming to get you, and no fancy ceiling door is gonna stop us."
"Time to wake up the neighborhood.
Don't!
Here we go.
Hurry, light the fireworks.
The match won't stay lit. It's too windy.
I've got that will burn.
Are you sure?
Yes. This ratty piece of polyester has been soaking in face oil for 8 years. Light him up. Goodbye, Taylee.
What the?
The score here is really beautiful, man. Like, there's no other word for it. It's, like, very touching. The show has a way of doing this, even when you least expect it. And, of course, you know, this is... I'm so biased at this point, but it's a fact. Yardley kills this delivery. This is, like, very moving. Like, the first time I watched this, I definitely got a little choked up. And that's... The fact that the show can still do that is really amazing, honestly.
Yeah, it is. They really, like, went all out. They pulled the... Pulled all the stops out. The score swells, and it's really great.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's a sign of good writing that this whole thing comes together. She needs Taylee in this last moment, but says goodbye to her, and sort of becomes not an adult, but grows up a little bit in that moment. And it just really kind of makes everything work. And you also see the neighborhood come together. We see more of these, you know, adult, sexy Halloween. People sort of come to the rescue and arrest all three of them, which is really good.
It's great. Yeah, so that's where the Bert and Ernie are, which is why I missed it earlier, because I have another section of costumes for this
part.
Let's
hear it.
We have Flanders as Jonah and the whale. He's wearing a whale costume. And he's coming
out. I missed that one for a long time. I only caught it this year, honestly.
That's a really good one. We have Disco Stew... as, I guess, just Disco Stew. He's just super Disco Stew. He's wearing a cape. He's in nothing but his underwear, which is really good. We have Bert and Ernie, like you said. We have Principal Chalmers, Superintendent Chalmers, as Sean Connery from Zardoz, which is a really weird sci-fi movie that was kind of a strange, like, druggy reimagination of The Wizard of Oz. Whoa. Everyone has seen this image of Sean Connery. It's all over the internet. It's kind of super out of context nowadays. But it's Sean Connery. He is standing in a desert. He's wearing nothing but, like, a cod piece and then has, like, two things of bullets going across his chest. And he's holding a gun.
I've never seen that.
It's really weird. It's really, really weird. But it's such a weird, deep, deep pull of a reference for this episode. And then finally, we get Lenny and Carl as the aliens, which is really, really
wonderful. We do. I was just about to mention that. So after the neighborhood comes to their rescue, you know, they arrest the criminals. Chief Wiggum tells him he's going to get him a job at the 99-cent store, which is cool. And we see Marge, Bart, and Maggie come home to discover that Everscream Terrors is back. You know, everything's set back up. I don't know how Homer found time to do that, but he got it, I guess, with the help of the neighborhood. So Halloween is saved for Bart. Bart's really excited. And it all helps Lisa put it behind her. And, you know, we do see Lenny and Carl as Kang and Kodos, which is a fantastic little pull, even though it's not a Treehouse of Horror. So I just think that's all really great. And I might even put a clip of that in right here.
Man, this is the lamest night of my entire miserable life. Yes! Everscream Terrors is back!
Stop it! Stop it! This will scare Lisa!
My brave girl, I burned Taylee.
Foolish Simpsons, this was not their typical Halloween experience.
Wow, cool alien voice, Lenny.
Thanks, I've been practicing it.
Oh, damn it, I lost it.
There's also one last joke that I thought was really funny was they're wrapping the episode up. And there's a really quick kind of in the background. Ralph says, "Grown up Halloween seems fun. I saw an areola."
And we should mention, speaking of like Matt Groening universe, Martin is dressed as Bender.
Oh, is he? I missed that.
Yeah, he's dressed as Bender. Missed it. Nice. So good.
That's great. That's really good.
This one is lovely, man. I mean, I can't I could ramble on and on, and I have multiple times about how there's so many great episodes that people miss. But yeah. This is like one I recommend often when it comes to like anyone asking me for a recommendation. Like, okay, well, give me one, you know, made in the last 10 years that's really great. This is like one of those episodes to me. And I would go so far as to say it's one of my favorites. Like, I like it more than several Treehouse episodes. So there's something really, really, like, there's a special sauce to this one. And Carolyn has a knack for that. I mean, I have gone on and on about how much I love her. The Way of the Dog is another episode that she wrote that is in my list of best episodes of the show. So anyone who doubts like her credentials, don't. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great episode. And I actually went on, and because the next episode in the season is the Treehouse of Horror, I went ahead and watched it also yesterday because I was feeling very Halloween-y. And totally. It's a pretty good Treehouse. There's some good. I really love. There's, you know, Sideshow Bob. Anytime he shows up, always happy. He shows up in a clip. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. Then there's also a reimagining of Godzilla, which is very, very much akin to King Homer. Kind of kissing cousins to it, which is really
and
really
has
good.
To be intentional. I love that one.
Yeah, yeah. It actually made me want to go back and just watch. The King Homer is one of my favorites. It's got a few of my favorite all-time Simpsons lines in it, which is one of them is Smithers saying, "Women and semen shouldn't mix."
We know what you think, young lady. And he like goes into the whole thing. The Godzilla Homer or Homerzilla, I think it's called.
Yeah,
a great modern one, and they also I think they made a toy out of that. Version of him, which is fun.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, that's I believe cool. There's a Funko Pop. I mean, come on, we all know how I feel about that, but I think they did. I know they made one out of King Homer. I think they made one out of Godzilla as well, or Homerzilla.
Awesome. That's awesome.
So, yeah, the Treehouse in 27 is also very strong, and getting those back-to-back, oh my God.
Yeah.
I will say I'm excited to anyone who doesn't know. So Halloween is on a Tuesday this year, which is why we're dropping back-to-back episodes. I did not want to let the month pass without getting a Halloween episode. That's something I've tried to do since the beginning of this podcast. So I want to make sure that I always get one of those in. But Treehouse this year airs 2 days before Halloween, which is really great. So we're going to get it on the Sunday right before Halloween. So I can't wait for that, obviously. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So Brandon, overall, you know, I want your closing thoughts, but what did you think of the ending? We get this this little moment at the end with Maggie sort of finding... Taylee and Taylee, you know, it's kind of like the monkey's paw. It like comes back to its full form. We get the Halloween theme song and stuff. What did you think of that? And give me your thoughts on the episode altogether.
Yeah, I really liked it. I love any sort of like, you know, post credit stinger or anything like that. And it was really nice. I liked that at the very end, they held off to the very end before they introduce a mildly supernatural element. Because she picks up the half-burnt Taylee, and then it's like, and it like heals itself, and then she has it, you know, which is great. Also, just nice for them to mention Maggie, the often forgotten child of the Simpsons.
Yeah, Maggie does nothing in this episode outside of that. So we get this little thing for Maggie at the end, which is nice.
yeah, it's really good. Always the afterthought, dear Maggie. I love the episode. You know, like we said, it's a great Homer and Lisa episode. Love those. Lots of great jokes, lots of great just gags. They managed to cram a song in there. It's got everything, man. It really does.
Love that. Yeah, so I hope everyone listening, if you hadn't seen this episode before, I hope you really liked it. I hope you enjoyed, you know, hearing our thoughts on it. And you know, make the most of these last few days of Halloween. Watch as much Treehouse as you can. I admittedly have not watched as much this year as I normally do, so I'm going to be really cramming that in all week.
There's still time.
And just make the most of October. Once it's gone, you got to wait a whole year.
That's right.
You know, I know some of us take it for granted, and some of us don't decorate our house, and then we regret not getting the most of the season. So make sure you do that, please. Please.
Get in your car. Go buy some pumpkins, some apple cider. Go home, call in a sick day, watch Treehouse all day.
Yes, because now we move into like the worst holiday before we get the best holiday. So we have to live through November. So make the most of October while you got it. I mean, nobody cares about Thanksgiving.
I just sleep through November. I'm just sleep through the whole thing.
Nobody cares about that. Brandon, anything before we get out of here? We're going to go have, you know, watch some scary stuff on our own. So do you have anything else that you want to say before we go?
I don't think so. Just happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween,
everybody. Everyone has a great Halloween.
Yeah, I hope it's badass. And do me a personal favor, everyone, on your way out the door, buy my book.
Go do it.
Please go to the description of this episode, pre-order my book. It comes out December 5th. So you'll have it in time for Christmas. You'll have, you know, it's a great gift. It's a great treat for yourself. So please go buy my book. Enjoy Halloween. Watch some scary stuff. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at simpsonsisgreat@gmail.com. If you like this podcast, consider leaving us a review on Apple or honestly, truthfully, anywhere that accepts reviews. I do not care. You can follow the official Instagram account at simpsonsisgreaterthan. You can follow Brandon at TheWithra. And if you're curious about me or my Simpsons collection, just search for Bart of Darkness on Google, really, or Instagram or Threads or anywhere, and I'm pretty sure you'll find me. And we'll see everyone real soon.